Today on The Wisdom Journey, we come to our final lesson in the book of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah 13, we see that following Christ is not easy. We need His grace as we fight constant battles with temptations, and often the same temptations day after day. Nehemiah found himself dealing with familiar sins among his people. Do you find yourself returning to some of the same sins? Stay with us for this lesson called Pulling Weeds, Resisting Temptation.
Anyone who does any gardening knows the battle against weeds is unending. You spend hours removing those weeds from your garden, and then before you know it, they're back. And you've got to start all over again. There's a spiritual analogy to this, beloved. Godly living isn't necessarily gaining victory over problems and temptations and then moving on to some new challenge. Sometimes it's battling the same one over and over again. Well, as we arrive now at the last chapter of Nehemiah and today conclude our wisdom journey through this book, I think this is exactly how Nehemiah probably felt. He probably thought he was pulling weeds all over again. You see, the Jewish people had confessed their sins. They'd even committed themselves to a written covenant before the Lord. But now here those sins resurface again in chapter 13, and Nehemiah has to start pulling the weeds all over again. Now, if you put the chronological clues together, in Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 15, and now here in chapter 13 and verse 6, you discover that Nehemiah served 12 years as the governor of Judah, and then he had returned to Persia to serve King Artaxerxes there. Well, then after some time in Persia, he again asked the king for permission to return to Judah. As soon as Nehemiah arrives back in Jerusalem, he finds that some of these weeds have crept back inside the city of Jerusalem and among the people. In fact, he's got a deal now with four recurring sins that have once again gained a stronghold. The first situation involves the sin of compromise. Now, apparently, even before Nehemiah arrived back here, the Lord providentially began to address this sin. Now, we're told here in verse 1 that Scripture was being publicly read again, and on this particular day, the text just so happened to condemn intermarriage with the unbelieving nations around them. But while Nehemiah had been away, some of these idolaters had indeed been accepted into the nation of Israel, and the Jewish people had intermarried with them again. Verse 3 tells us, as soon as the people heard the law, that is the Scripture being read, they separated from Israel all those of foreign descent. So already here, God is at work in their hearts. Now, this separation isn't complete. However, the problem of compromise had reached right into the priesthood. So when Nehemiah arrives back home here, he finds that his old enemy, Tobiah that Ammonite, well, and this is shocking, he's been given an apartment inside the temple. So Tobiah, an enemy of the people of Jerusalem, the guy who was opposed to the rebuilding of the city and even threatened Nehemiah's life, guess what? He's now living inside the temple. Frankly, you can't make this up. Well, good for Nehemiah. He doesn't waste any time here. He tells us in verse 8, I was very angry, and I threw all the household furniture of Tobiah out of the chamber. And then I gave orders, and they cleansed the chambers. Nehemiah doesn't hold any committee meetings. He doesn't take a vote. He doesn't begin dialoguing with Tobiah to make sure he felt good about himself. He simply removed the idolater from the place of worship. Nehemiah, evidently, the text says, personally throws out all this guy's furniture, his clothes, his idols, and probably his razor and toothbrush as well. By the way, keep in mind that today as a Christian, your body, as well as mine, happens to be called the temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:19. So how do we deal with sin that moves into God's temple? Do we manage it, excuse it, negotiate with it, buy it some furniture to make it comfortable? Or do we, like Nehemiah, kick it out immediately? See, I think, beloved, that Nehemiah had the right idea. Now, the second sin that Nehemiah needs to confront is selfishness. He writes here in verse 10, I also found out that the portions of the Levites had not been given to them, so that the Levites and the singers who did the work had fled, each to his field. You see, the people had stopped bringing in their tithes of food and provisions to the temple, so the Levites who lived off those offerings have gone back to farming. You see, because of the people's selfishness, the worship system and schedule here in Jerusalem has now been disrupted. Well, once again, Nehemiah doesn't waste any time. Verses 11 and 12 tell us, I confronted the officials and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their stations. Then all Judah brought the tithes of the grain, wine, and oil into the storehouses. Nehemiah also discovers here on his return to Jerusalem that the weed of materialism has grown back inside the city gates. See, the people of God are doing business now on the Sabbath, violating God's law, we read here in verse 15. In those days I saw in Judah people treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in heaps of grain and loading them on donkeys, and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. Well, again, Nehemiah rebukes the leaders for allowing this. He says here in verse 17, what is this evil thing that you're doing, profaning the Sabbath day? He then has the gates of Jerusalem now closed every Sabbath day, and he even chases away people who try to set up their little vegetable stands outside the walls by the gates on the Sabbath. He just removes the temptation. Well, now the final sin Nehemiah must deal with is just plain old disobedience. And again, this relates to intermarriage. He says in verse 23, in those days also I saw the Jews who had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Now, there are three problems with marrying these unbelieving women. First, it's going to introduce pagan idolatry back into Israel ever so surely. Nehemiah recalls here in verse 26 that foreign women made even Solomon to sin. Secondly, verse 24 tells us that many of the children from these mixed marriages could not speak the language of Judah. In other words, they didn't know Hebrew. That meant they couldn't read God's word. That meant they could lose a connection with their spiritual heritage. Thirdly, entering mixed marriages broke their own promise to God back in chapter 10. Maybe you remember they had promised to separate from the peoples of that land and no longer intermarry with these idolaters. Here in verse 25, Nehemiah severely rebukes these who are guilty of this sin, which, by the way, included the high priest's son. Verse 28 tells us that Nehemiah literally chases off this disobedient, compromising priest. He runs him out of town. Well, here's the example of Nehemiah in chapter 13. Instead of giving up, because he's got to start pulling those weeds all over again, he tackles compromise immediately. He handles selfishness honestly, and he attacks materialism directly. Then he deals with disobedience here unapologetically. You know, we ought to do the same. The Christian life, beloved, is frankly hard work. In fact, it's impossible apart from the work of God in our lives. Temptation isn't easy to overcome along the way. Temptation doesn't really even diminish with age. It grows more deceptive. It grows more dangerous. The lure of compromise, selfishness, materialism, and disobedience, you know, can wear a lot of disguises today. But let me tell you, beloved, trusting the Lord, relying on the Holy Spirit, and obeying the truth of God's word, well, that'll lead to victory. And when we fall and fail, as we accept that lure of temptation, let's follow Nehemiah's example here. Let's deal with it immediately, honestly, directly. Every time we confess our sins, the Bible says God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, verse 9. That gives us fresh starts. I love the way one Christian leader said that Christianity is a series of fresh starts. Well, as we wrap up our wisdom journey through the memoirs of Nehemiah, an ordinary man who followed God wholeheartedly, let me reassure you that the world today, the church today, your family today, all need people who are just a little more like him. Ordinary believers. But ordinary believers who are willing to live for the approval of God, who are willing to rebuild and restore a broken down world, perhaps a broken family, perhaps a divided church. How do you do that? Well, just commit yourself to the Lord and then rebuild, invest in one life, just one person, one disciple at a time. Begin with yourself as you entrust your life to the Lord. Well, until our next wisdom journey together, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
This lesson is called Pulling Weeds, Resisting Temptation. You're listening to The Wisdom Journey, and Stephen Davey is your daily Bible teacher as we travel through the Bible together. Stephen is the pastor of the Shepherd's Church in Cary, North Carolina. Learn more about us and access all of our other resources by visiting wisdomonline.org. Our phone number is 866-48-BIBLE if we can assist you personally. Stephen will begin the book of Esther next time here on The Wisdom Journey.